Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Nashville-based Kelly Minter is an author, Bible teacher, worship leader and musician. In addition to her own recordings, her songs have been recorded by everybody from Sonic Flood to Sandy Patty. But among her greatest passions is her love for the people of the Amazon. Her book, Wherever the River Runs, opens up a world of faith and belief so powerful to Kelly. She starts counting down the moments till her next visit from the moment she finishes her last one. We join our conversation with Kelly Minter on the unlikely invitation to head to the Amazon that first time.
No, it absolutely was. In fact, the president of my record company at the time, he had gotten involved with a ministry in the Amazon, and he had invited some of his artists to come down, and I was one of them. And so we hopped on a wooden riverboat and strung up some hammocks and headed down the river and just got to be part of ministering to the people. And what I mean by that is in some villages we would put on camps where the kids had never experienced day camps in the way that we were doing them. We were able to talk about the love of Jesus. And then we've also been very involved with bringing clean water to some of these remote areas and helping people with food in emergency flooding situations. We also now have an annual Jungle Pastors Conference where we train jungle pastors deep in the jungle in God's Word. And so, yeah, it's totally different. It is completely different. I mean, I'm not on a highway down there. I'm on a boat, and we pull up alongside villages and people who live their lives off the river and off the jungle. And it's so different, but it has been absolutely one of the joys of my life to see that God is working in places like the Amazon jungle.
Kelly, it's such an evocative image. There you are with your dad and some fellow musicians on an old wooden boat, bend after bend on one of the world's great rivers, the Amazon, looking into a forest that seems so dense and so massive in scale. What's going on inside you?
Mm-hmm. Such a great question. For one thing, as I was on that boat that very first time and we're kind of winding back into the jungle, I became very aware of that the charge that Jesus gave to his disciples that said to go and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I really sensed that the gospel was not just for people in certain suburbs or cities or in, steeples in certain parts of the world, but that the gospel was for all people and nations and tribes. And that became very real for me as here I was weaving down the Amazon River and realizing the gospel is going as to truly the ends of the earth. And so that was one of the things that I had on my mind. Another piece was one of those questions like, Lord, are you here? Are you here with these, are you here with people that that seem to live so far in obscurity? And do you care for these people? And of course I knew intellectually that the answer was yes, but those are all the parts of the gospel that were being worked out for me. As I came into some obscure places, one of the stories that I tell in the book was meeting a young boy whose home was about to be taken over by the rising waters, and I had met him in the school that he was at, and I began to talk to him just all about just how I felt like I sensed that God wanted to raise him up as a leader in his village, and he was involved with a small jungle church in his village, and. He said something to me that I will never forget, and this was a boy with just hardly anything, barely the clothes on his back, no type of income, nothing of the sort. His home was about to be taken over by the rivers, and he said, "No one has ever seen me before." And then he paused, and he said, "But God sent you to see me." At one point, I had my guitar, and I was standing in a hut where a woman right about my age was laying in a hammock with cerebral palsy, and she had been laying in a hammock with cerebral palsy her entire life. And when I saw her and I saw the condition of her body and just how far she was from civilization, all I can tell you is that I had one of those just incredibly holy experiences of repentance and of gratefulness and of also just grief for her situation, but also hope for her situation that her body would be made new one day. And as I stood there, and I played my guitar and I began to sing a song I had written, and I just began to weep in that situation, and I realized the great privilege that it was to begin to use my music in true worship, in true humility, and in the service of someone who maybe had never even seen a guitar before, maybe had never had anyone come into her home and sing to her and for her and with her. And in that moment, I realized that whatever my career pursuits were, whatever my dreams were, the Lord was doing, he was doing what he wanted to do with my giftings and with my music, and I couldn't have thought of a more powerful or a higher place that I could have been than in that moment in the middle of a village that no one has ever heard of before.
Hmm. Kelly, one of my favorite stories in your book is that of Jan.
Yes, yes. There was a little boy named Jan, and I couldn't have been 4 years old or so, and we were doing a little program in his school, and what I didn't know about him at the time was that his mother had had fled his father, and that they were just trying to find shelter in this particular village. They were living in the backside of a shack, and they didn't have a home, but I didn't know any of this. And my father and I were giving a little camp and presentation, and at the very end, one of my friends got up and said, "Hey, is there anybody who would like to come forward for prayer?" And I thought, here we are, there's flies buzzing around, it's 110 degrees in the school, everybody's hot, the kids are, you know how they're moving around and swatting at one another, and I thought, there's no way that anybody's going to come forward for prayer. And here comes this four-year-old named Jan, and he literally just springs from his chair, and he gets about halfway to the front, and he realizes that he needs to bring his mom with him. And so he goes back, and he grabs her wrist, and he starts tugging her to the front of the classroom, and we ask him what he needs prayer for, and he says, "We need prayer for a house." And I just didn't have a context for that at that time. I just didn't have a context for a little child not having a home and knowing that the God of the universe could help him, that God cared for him and could see him. And I didn't have context for a four-year-old understanding all of that in that moment. And we prayed for that family. And the next time I came back to the Amazon, his mother was back with his father, and they had a home in the village. And it was a pretty redemptive story. And we even found out that his mother had been baptized and had come to know Christ. The sad, very tragic part of that story is about a year and a half ago when I went back to the Amazon, I found out that his mother had been struck by lightning and she was killed. And now little Jan is being raised by his grandparents. But in all of that, I still was able to see the hand of God in that we have been praying for this young boy. We have people that are keeping their eye on his family, and that the mother had come to Christ before this tragedy. And so just sort of unthinkable things like that and those types of experiences that have been so humbling and grounding for me, as I seek to know Christ in a deeper way.
You mentioned earlier in our conversation, Kelly, the Jungle Pastors Conferences and what a mighty thing they are. Share with us the story of Pastors Barbarossa and Mardell.
Yes, Pastor Mardell, he had had a life of extraordinary violence, and some of these pastors had been radically saved, sort of like the Apostle Paul, you know, where they were headed in one direction and the Lord got hold of their lives. But he was in prison at one point, and there was a group of believers that came to sing and to share about Christ in prison, and he literally was just radically saved and changed, and he's just one of those guys that walks around with one of the brightest smiles in the world. There was another pastor who I know that Pastor Nahum, who would literally pay or he would clean toilets 4 days a week at a grocery store in the city of Manaus, and he would make, I think it was $10 a day, and he would save up that money to fuel his canoe so that he could take his canoe into villages to preach the gospel. There's another pastor that talked to me about how they didn't have enough money for food. And here it was Christmas. It was Christmas Eve, and there was no food in their house, and they were in the middle of the jungle. And his son just, you know, was upset, and he finally, his son just said, you know what, let's just go to sleep, Daddy, because, I mean, all we can do is just go to sleep. We don't have any food. And they prayed about it, and the next morning someone came to their door and had a whole feast of food for them. And just stories like that that they tell over and over and over. And some of these jungle pastors, it literally takes them 12 days to get to the conference because they're so deep in the jungle, and they come all that way for the fellowship and for the worship and for the encouragement. And so it is literally one of my most favorite weeks of the year to be part of what God is doing in their lives and to help encourage them, because many of them never get encouragement. They don't have anyone to encourage them where they're living. And then this way they go back, they get filled up, and then they go back and they pour into their villages.
I get a sense, Kelly, in reading your book and now listening to you speak, that the faith of the people of the Amazon is really a tonic for what is ailing what we call the developed world.
Mm-hmm. And it's so true, and a tonic is such a great word. And I feel the same exact way, Duane. Every time I go, I'm so humbled, and but in that humility, I'm so encouraged, and I'm so reminded that, you know, we are not here to build our kingdoms or our platforms or our followers. We are here to impart the life of Christ to people, to do it humbly, and to do it with humility, and that it really all comes back to the glory of God. And so every time I go to the jungle, I'm reminded of that. And that's one of the reasons why I like to go once or twice a year, because I feel like I need that adjustment. You know, I get back to my environment, and even within a Christian context sometimes, we're looking for all these measurements of success and totally forgetting that the Lord himself, Jesus, we find in Philippians, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped onto, but he became a servant.
Sadly, that wonderful man, John, that introduced you to the Amazon and the people there, passed away with cancer a few years back. Share with us that story of the time that you and some fellow friends and family spent with John just before he died.
Yeah, John Pack, actually, he was the president at the time of Integrity over in England, and one of those amazing men who presided over songs like Here I Am to Worship and Blessed Be Your Name and 10,000 Reasons in Christ Alone, songs like that. He had been involved in that type of worship music, and yet he would tell you himself that he did not really understand worship until he got to the Amazon jungle and was faced with what it really meant for him to give his life away and worship to the Lord for these forgotten people. And about 2.5 years ago, he called me and told me that he had aggressive stomach cancer. We had prayed for his healing, and the Lord just did not choose to heal him in the way that we had all hoped. And so, yes, I was there in a room, living room with him and his family and several friends the night before he passed away. And we had about a 3-hour meeting, and it was so interesting, and I'll never forget it because, you know, you think about what would you be talking about the last 3 hours of your life,
yeah.
You know, it's just such a good question for us to ask ourselves. And John was talking about the people that God loved along the Amazon. That's what he was doing the last 3 hours. He wasn't recounting all of his successes, all of the number one worship songs that he had helped publish. He wasn't recounting the wonderful vacations he had taken or the money that he had in his bank account. He was talking about how much God loved the people of the Amazon and how much he wanted those people to be taken care of. And that was what was on his heart. And he sat there right with a chair and his Mac computer on his lap. And we went back and forth. And at the very end of the night, he said, justice and mercy. He said, I can't think of anything more than closer to the heart of what God has called us to do in the Amazon. And then he said, and we do it all for the glory of King Jesus. And I think that was a turning point for me, or not a turning point, but a mile marker of this is all about the glory of Jesus. And so I told him that I would see him tomorrow because we had some more meetings and business to take care of. And the next day he was gone and was with the Lord. So there have been some really hard moments and some discouraging moments, but I also know, and I'm constantly reminded, bringing a whole bunch of stuff and a whole bunch of just a fix-it, Western fixes, is not what's going to bring the lasting hope and the lasting change. It's really about them understanding the simplicity of the gospel and how Jesus gives hope and he changes lives. And so those are a few of the things that I've learned. I feel like every time I do the Jungle Pastors Conference, I learn more about what it's like to really live by faith. And with so many of these men and women, they don't know where their food is coming from. They don't know how they're going to get from point A to point B a lot of times. And it's just amazing to hear their stories of God's provision in their life.
Kelly Minter, thank you so much for your book, Wherever the River Runs. It's available now. And for sharing some of your love of the people of the Amazon with us on Open House Around Australia.
Oh, it is so my privilege. And I'm so grateful that, especially as you mentioned, all of you Australians who love to travel, that there are so many wonderful places to travel to where people need to be encouraged in Christ. And so I just hope that you all get those opportunities.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.